Colossians chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verse number 16 this evening. But as we begin here, I got a trivia question for you. Why are so many people in our society overweight? You know, some people blame it on their genes. They blame it on sedentary work. And I'm moving around much. But I believe the main reason often comes down to one thing. It's a choice of diet. And the same thing is true about us spiritually. There's a lot of unhealthy Christians in our world today because they have chosen a mental diet that is not healthy. And they're filling their minds with things that is not strengthening them spiritually. And this evening I want us to focus just on the first nine words of verse number 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I'm going to preach a different kind of a message tonight. And I'll tell you right now, you better have your Bibles and better be ready to move, because I'm not going to be able to slow down, because we're going to be looking at over 40 different references tonight. So I'm going to be moving right along. So I encourage you to follow along as quickly as you can and download the notes if you can't keep up. Okay? That's probably a better way of going. All right. As we look at this tonight, I want to answer three questions. What does these nine words mean? Why is it important? And how are we to obey it? But those words again are, let this word of Christ dwell in you richly. We start out with the very important part is, what does it mean? What does that mean? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Well, the word of Christ, of course, was the Lord God. He was the living word. He lived on this earth. He spoke his word. So it could be referring to the words that he spoke in the Gospels. It's possible. But he's also God. He's the author of the Bible in that sense, so that it could be talking about all of the Bible. We get another clue in the parallel passage. Anybody know where the parallel passage is? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And in that passage there, it says that we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so here he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And that passage just says, be filled with the Spirit. And so it could be that the Spirit of God, who is the author of the word of God, is the subject here. And they're parallel. We don't know for positive. But either way, both Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are God. They are both the author of the Bible. They have both spoken the word. They've authored the word of God. So he's speaking about the Bible here. And the Bible, it reveals God's mind to us. And then we see the next part of the phrase. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word dwell there is an imperative. That means it's a command. And it's literally saying the word of Christ must dwell inside of you. The word of Christ must dwell inside of you. Now, to dwell, when we think about dwelling, we all have a dwelling place. The place that you dwell is your home, your abode, the place that you live. And when you're at home and you're at your home, you let down your apprehensions. This is home. I can do what I want in my home. And we feel comfortable there. It's a place where we don't feel nervous. We don't feel frightened. It's home to us. And so he says that the word of Christ must dwell. It must be at home in us. But it's something here that I found was very interesting. The word dwell, it comes from a word that literally, the root of that word literally means to dwell inside of. That's the root word. But then this word dwell, it actually puts a prefix on it as well. And the prefix is in. So he's saying we need to dwell in, but he's double emphasizing that. And then notice in the text he says dwell in you richly. It's the third time he emphasizes in. So three times in this word dwell in, he's emphasizing inside. So we get the idea very clearly and strongly that God is saying, I want my word inside of you. And I want it to dwell there. I want it to abide there. I want it to be at home there. And he commands us that we must allow the Word of God inside of us. And then he says that it must be in us richly, deep down inside. Now, this word richly, it means abundant. And if we were to ask a few questions about rich, we'd catch on the idea here. First of all, what is it that made Solomon rich? He had lots of what? Money, riches, resources, property, you name it, he had it. So he had lots of that. What makes cherry cheesecake rich? Lots of sugar and cheese. Alright? What makes a gold mine rich? Plenty of gold. If any old gold mine can have gold in it, but a rich gold mine is one that's got plenty of it in it. What makes a happy marriage relationship rich? An abundance of love and kindness. And so with those thoughts in mind, when he says here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, what do we need to do with the word of God? We need lots of it in us. Alright, he's saying here, I want you to have lots of it in you, and you get that from reading, studying, and meditating on the Word of God. I want lots of it in you, and it needs to be inside of you, and it needs to be dwelling inside of you. It needs to be there, because that's where it's going to do the good. Then we need to ask ourselves an important question before we proceed. How abundantly does God's Word dwell in your heart? How abundantly is it dwelling in you right now? So that answers the question of what. But then we need to next spend a majority of our time answering the question why. Why is letting the Word of Christ dwell in us important? Well, first of all, very basic thing is that it's a command. I mean, God commanded it. God doesn't waste His words. And so when God tells us here, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, He meant just that. It's a command. This is what I want you to do. I expect you to do it. It wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't an option. And yet this is probably one of the most oft-neglected commands. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. A direct command, belongs to Christians, and yet great number of Christians, probably a majority, maybe a vast majority, do not do that. They do not let the Word of Christ dwell in them richly. Now, it's important because of it provides many benefits. And I told you we're going to be looking at a lot of verses, and here they start. And we're going to go all over the Bible, and I don't have them in biblical order because it'll give a little bit more variety as we work our way back and forth, but I'm going to be looking them up manually, so if you want to keep up with me, that's fine. I encourage you to try, okay? We're going to start out in Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 17, I want us to notice your verses 18 and 19. Deuteronomy 17, 18, it says, "And it shall be when he," speaking to the king, "shall be upon his throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of the law in the book in a book out of which is before the priests and the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and keep all his words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart might not be lifted up above his brethren." Okay, we'll stop there. So here he says the first thing is that the scriptures need to be read regularly, and if we do it by reading it, we will learn to fear God, we will learn to obey God, and we will learn to do his will. So the scriptures are beneficial to us. Now over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, very familiar verse. Some of you may know the verse, but we'll look at it anyway. Psalm 119:11. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." Alright, so the word of God will help us to avoid sin. It will help us to avoid sin. Now what are we looking for? Why should I read the Bible? Why should I spend time in the Bible? First of all, it'll cause us to fear God and obey Him and do His will. Secondly, it says it'll help me to avoid sin. Next verse is John chapter 15, verse 7. John chapter 15, verse number 7. John chapter 15, verse number 7. If ye abide in me, Jesus Christ is speaking here, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. He said, if my words abide in you, I will answer your prayers. Another good reason to study the scriptures and let it dwell in us. 1 John, toward the end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 14. 1 John 2 and verse number 14. 1 John 2:14, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. The scriptures will help us to overcome the devil and his temptations that he brings our way. Next one, we saw this verse this morning, way back in the beginning of your Bible, Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God said if we spend time in the scriptures every day, it will make us prosperous and successful in God's sight. As we spent our whole message this morning looking at that this morning. And encourage you to go back over that message and ponder over it. Download the notes if you need to. Now over to Psalm. Psalm 1. Many of you could quote this Psalm. A good reminder to us. Psalm 1. And look at verses 2 and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So God said here, if we meditate on the scriptures, it will make us prosper. It will help us to bring forth fruit. We will be fruitful, prosperous believers if we'll do that. Same book, Psalm 119 again. Psalm 119. Look with me now at verses 105. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The scriptures will give us direction. If we'll spend time in the word, we will find God's direction for our life. It will help us. It will give us light. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Some of you may be able to quote this verse, but let's take a look at it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you study the scriptures, diligently spend time in the scriptures, what is it going to do for you? It is going to make it so that you do not need to be ashamed when you discuss the scriptures with people. You will have answers to give them. You will not be tripped up by their words and questions that they may ask. Same book, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. One chapter over. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Number one, for doctrine. Number two, for reproof. Number three, for correction. Then instruction in righteousness. So four things it'll do for us here. It will teach us doctrine so that we know what is right. It will reprove us when we do wrong to get us back in line or say, you know, that was wrong. That was not the right thing. It convicts us. It corrects us to get us back in line, and it instructs us in the right way to go from that point on so that we can make progress in the right direction. Then the next verse, verse number 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So here he enables us to be fully equipped, completely equipped to be able to serve God. We'll have everything we need if we spend time in the scriptures. The Bible is vitally important. Here's another one that's very important. Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. This is why it's important to read the scriptures out loud to your children. It's good why it's important to read the scriptures out loud when you're witnessing to a friend. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Some people say, I just don't have faith. Spend time reading the scriptures. Why does that give us faith? Well, God promises it would. But it also gives us faith because we can see how God responded to other issues in life. How he responded to Job, and how he responded to David, and how he responded to Joshua, and how he responded to Esther, and all. We can see all through that, and it helps to build faith in our lives. John chapter 20, verse number 30. John chapter 20, verse number 30. Here in John 20, verse 30 and 31, John tells us why he wrote the book of John. He says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. He says, by reading the scriptures, it will prompt believing. It causes people to see their need of Christ. And so that's why John wrote the book. So that we can see through all the examples, this is why you need Christ. It prompts us to believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 11. First Corinthians 10, 11. Now all these happened unto them for ensamples or examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. All these, he's talking about things he mentioned earlier in the chapter, especially down in verse number 6. He says that these things were for our examples. He's talking about all the problems, especially when they were going through the wilderness. The book of Numbers is all about the wilderness wanderings and all the complaining and all the griping and all the troubles and all the problems and all the reasons that God was upset with them. And he says, all these were written for our learning, our examples, and they were for our admonition to warn us, don't do what they did or you're going to get the consequences. We see a very similar verse in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. He said, this is what the Old Testament was written for, that we might have hope. So he's giving us Scriptures to help us so that when we face the same things David faced, we can have hope. When we face the same things Jeremiah faced, we can have hope. Because we saw how God brought them through and God will bring us through. So they're there for our learning, that we might be able to have hope. Back to the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Wonderful passage. What did God say? He says, blessed is the one who reads. He didn't even say we had to understand it. He said, blessed is the one who reads. And they who hear the word of this prophecy. And then he says, special blessing if you keep those things that are written therein. So he says, I want you to hear it and do it. And God will bless us. So there's a good reason for reading the scriptures. That was number 18. We got 32 to go. Or 32 altogether. Next one, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I chose all these because I wanted you to see that there is an abundance of reasons why we need to spend quality time in the scriptures every single day. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verses 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life shall they add to thee. God says if you, Solomon is talking to his son here, he's about keeping his law. There's probably a dual application here, not only to the father's instruction to his son, but God's instruction to us to keep his words as well. And they will add long life and peace to our lives if we will do that. We find also the next one in Psalm 119, verse 18. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The psalmist here says, God, would you please open my eyes because I want to see wondrous things in your law. There's wonderful things in the scriptures. And they're there for us to gain from. He says, if we'll read it, we can get them. And they're there to be a blessing to us. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. Paul was speaking here of the Berean Christians, and he said, these are more noble than those of Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul was saying was true. And so the scriptures there will enable us to see the difference between truth and error. They will reveal the truth to us. Psalm 119, 130. Way back in the Psalm again. I told you I was going back and forth. Kind of keeps you hopping. Help you get knowing your Bible better. Psalm 119 and 130. Entrance into thy word, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. God said the scriptures give us light. They give us understanding. And it gives it especially to those who are simple. Those who have a simple mind, just like most of us, you know, just ordinary people. We need to know the scriptures, and it'll help us if we'll do that. Next one is in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4, this one's speaking of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4, during Jesus' temptation. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus quoted the scriptures to defeat the devil. Now, Jesus is God. And yet when Jesus was tempted, he quoted the scriptures to defeat the devil. If Jesus saw the importance of quoting the scriptures to defeat the devil, how much more must we? I mean, if the Son of God, all he had to do is say, drop dead, and Satan would have obeyed his voice. But Jesus instead quoted the scriptures to defeat the devil. And so he was teaching us the scriptures are powerful in helping us to defeat the devil. We need to know the scriptures. We need to spend time in the scriptures. John chapter 17, Jesus' high priestly prayer the night before his crucifixion. John 17, verse number 17, Jesus prayed for us, and he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It will sanctify us, set us apart, make us more holy, more like Christ. So Jesus prayed this for us, that the word of God would sanctify us, set us apart. Psalm 19. There's a whole section of them here. We're going to look at four verses in a row. We sing this passage as a song many times. Psalm 19, verse number 7. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law there speaks of the instructions of God. And he says it's perfect. And it turns the sinful soul back to God. The law of the Lord is perfect. Then he goes on, he says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So the testimony there refers to his witnesses, the witness of the scripture, as the scripture witnesses the truth to us. And he says that it makes wise the simple. It gives us wisdom. Verse number 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The word statutes there refers to God's rules. Alright, so the rules of the Lord are right, and they rejoice the heart. When we keep on the right paths, it gives us joy. That's what life's all about. That's what we talked about this morning. You get off the right path, you're not going to be happy. But you stay on the right path, following God's word, it will help you to be happy. Not only in this life, but in the life to come. He goes on, In verse 8, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The commandment there refers to God's demands, the things that He requires of us. And He says that they are pure. They're right. You know, they're clean and pure things that He's telling us to do. And He says that it will enlighten our eyes to the sinfulness of our past. You know, they enlighten our eyes. When we see God's word and He says, thou shalt not steal, and we just took something, that enlightens our eyes and convicts us and helps us to see what I did was not right. So it enlightens our eyes. Verse number 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. This one's a bit confusing because it appears to kind of change thoughts or the patterns that He's giving here. So it's probably referring to, rather than the fear of the Lord in the sense of we need to fear and tremble before God, it's probably referring to the fact that the Scriptures, as He's talking about in all these other things, the Scriptures are awe-inspiring. They are reverent, and we need to humble ourselves before them, and they are clean, and they will endure forever. They will not leave us. They are awe-inspiring, and they will help us and guide us. And then He ends up the latter part of that verse 9, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. His judgments, His decisions. When you read about the judgments in the Old Testament, now sometimes He's just talking about passing a judgment, but the idea here is that they're decisions. The decisions that God makes, He says, are righteous altogether. They're always right. They're always the right thing. They will lead us in the right way. So those are 31 examples, and there are lots more. But these are the ones that came to my mind as I was pondering over this and praying over that. And if you can find more, you can add to your list here. Reasons why we need to study the Bible. These are some pretty convincing reasons. Things that will be beneficial if we'll do that. But then we ask ourselves, how do we let the Word of Christ dwell in us? We looked at what we needed to do. We saw, secondly, the why we needed to do it. Now, how do we go about doing it? And we all know the answer to that. But it's good for us to have a refresher. First of all, we need to start with a choice. It starts with a choice. No one ever studies the Bible and learns from the Bible without choosing to do it. It's not going to just happen. You're not going to be able to put your Bible under your pillow and say, all right, I'm going to study the Bible tonight while I sleep. That'd be awesome. But it doesn't work that way. All right? You're going to have to put your mind into it, and you need to make a choice. Remember what James said in James 4, verse 8? Draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. All right? So as we draw nigh to God through spending time with Him in the Scriptures, God will draw near to us. So it takes a choice. The psalmist described the Scriptures as sweet to the soul. Psalm 119, 103, he said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I wonder if we can honestly say, God, the Scriptures are sweet to me. I love spending time in the Word. I enjoy reading the Scriptures, and I enjoy meditating on them. And my Bible is well marked and obvious that I've enjoyed my time in the Word. We need to spend time in the Word. So there's a choice. But secondly, we must make it a daily priority to read the Bible. We live in busy lives. All of us do. And if you don't make it a priority, you will not study the Bible. Oh, you might hit and miss once a month, get it out, dust it off, and read a couple chapters. But you won't read it consistently unless you have a commitment to put it in your priority schedule to do it. This is when I'm going to do it. Now, in order to do that, you're going to have to discipline yourself. Remember what God told the king we saw back there in Deuteronomy 17? He said you need to write out your own Scriptures, so you need to have your own Bible, and all of us have our own Bible. All right, so you need to have your own Bible, and he says you need to spend time in that Bible every day, reading it. Now that means you need to find a quiet time and a quiet place, and you need to do it every day. And the more people that are in your home, the harder it is to find a quiet time and a quiet place. Not so hard at my house anymore. When the kids were all home, it was a little more difficult. But I find a quiet time and a quiet place, and for me, the best time is first thing in the morning. Because if I put it off and say, well, I'm going to study my Bible while I'm eating my lunch, it won't happen because something's going to happen. Something's going to come up, a phone will ring, or somebody will knock at the door. There's going to be distractions. I'll forget all about it. And it's like, oh, I forgot to read my Bible. Oh, I'll read twice tomorrow. It won't happen. It won't happen. You've got to have a disciplined time. So you choose a time. You and God set aside a time. Say, this is my Bible time, and I'm going to spend time with God, and nothing's going to get in the way of that. Then we need to take the time to study the Bible. It does take time. It's going to take time. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 5 are very important verses. And we read there, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, and again, I think there's a dual application here. Solomon's talking to his son, but he's obviously talking about things that come from God. All right? So it's the idea here is God speaking to us as well as the Father to his Son. All right? He says, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest hers for silver and searchest for hers for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and shalt find the knowledge of God. Now, he said there's some qualifications here. You need to receive it, hide it, incline your ear to it, apply your heart to it, cry after it, seek after it, search for it, and then you're going to find what you need. And all of these things take time. They take effort. They take energy. But he says that's how you're going to find it. We read the verse over there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study the word of God. It's not just reading it. Studying it digs it out. You know, even like tonight, I pointed out that the word in was emphasized very strongly in those verses. Now, I have a little bit of an advantage over most of you. I've had, you know, 3 years of study in Greek, and so that helps me. But most of what I did, you could do on a good Bible app without any knowledge of Greek. You could figure that stuff out. But it takes time. It takes a little digging. It takes a little bit of effort. All right? But that's what study is all about. Study is different than reading. Reading is just, I read the verse. Yep, I did it. But studying it is, what does that mean? Pull it apart. Look up those words. Look up the definitions of those words. Find out what, and with a Bible app, you can easily do that, and it can greatly enhance your understanding of the Scriptures if you'll spend time to study the Scriptures carefully. If you don't want to use your Bible app or a computer app, then you can always go the old way and grab yourself a concordance and a Bible dictionary, and then you can mark out some long time of studying, but it can be done. The old guys used to do that. We did it when we were kids. But we've got it made now with just a Bible computer app. But then one other thought I want us to see here is that we must select portions of Scripture to meditate on. Several Scriptures talk about meditation. Psalm 1, 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 119, 97, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalm 119, 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. I like that verse. I do that lots. Thinking about the Scriptures while we're sleeping. We're supposed to be sleeping. The brain won't shut off and the body won't rest. So you lay there and think about the Scriptures. All right? That's meditating on the Scriptures. But you can't meditate on something you don't know anything about. You've got to have the Scripture down in order to meditate on it. So you've got to know it and spend time with it. And then lastly, this is one that I don't even like to mention because it always convicts me. We need to memorize the Scriptures. Key passages. We need to memorize it. And it isn't just a matter of saying, yes, I've memorized the verse. I'm good. I got that down. Yeah, if you don't practice that verse 2 days later, you won't be able to say it either. It takes repetition again and again and again and again and again and again. Oh, it's painful repetition sometimes. Now, not that that the Word of God's painful, but you know what I'm saying. You're not going to do it without a lot of repetition. It takes a lot of repetition to be able to remember what you've memorized, but it's rewarding. Hard work, but rewarding. So as we wrap all this up, we've looked at 31 reasons why we need to study the Word of God, to be able to allow the Word of Christ to dwell inside of you richly, abundantly. God says if you'll do that, you'll have all these blessings and all these promises and all these things that I've said that I will do for you if you'll spend the time in the Word. If you have not been reading and studying and meditating on the Word of God, I challenge you tonight. Will you choose to begin this evening? Will you choose to do that? You know, change will not be easy. The devil's going to oppose you. You may need to change your mental diet. Instead of spending so much time on social media and games and entertainment and other hindrances, you need to spend more time in the book. It'll help you if you'll do that. But the Word of Christ, God says, I want the Word of Christ to dwell inside of you richly. So I challenge you tonight to let God have His way. And if you'll do that, God promises you'll grow spiritually. You've got His Word on it.